Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
She has been involved in American Heritage Girls since its founding in 1995 and served in a number of roles over the years, from data entry to chief strategy officer. She earned a degree in social work from Miami University, and prior to her role, she had accumulated nearly 15 years of experience in youth-serving organizations, notably working with the YMCA camping programs. They live in Cincinnati, Ohio. Her husband, Jeremy, along with her children. Under her leadership, AHG aims to address challenges facing modern girls, such as mental health issues, by integrating biblical wisdom, authentic community, and practical care into its programming. Delighted to have you in studio with me. And here is the new executive director of American Heritage Girls, Rachel Culpepper. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to chat with you today.
We have a lot of ground to cover today, but I wanted to start out with just the fact that our daughters seem to be in real trouble. If you look at the CDC reports coming out, 57% of our daughters said that they felt persistently sad. According to that same report, they found that over 30% of our daughters had seriously contemplated suicide over the last year or so. Rachel, that's not a problem. That's an absolute nightmare when you really, really think about it. What are you finding as you canvass the country and talk to girls?
Absolutely. So we are finding the same kind of heartbreaking situation going on. We're seeing girls that don't have a strong sense of who they are and whose they are. And once you lose that, you know, linkage to your identity as a daughter of the King, culture gets really loud, right? And so we are dealing with girls that are not only having some identity crisis, but also, you know, ever since the pandemic, things have shifted a bit with girls having in real life community and really being able to have a sense of belonging with real live people in, you know, a space and time. And so we have this loneliness epidemic that is going on. And then we've also got a culture that is putting so much pressure on girls for perfection, right? We see these curated views of reality through different social media platforms, and girls aren't seeing this idea that failure is actually a part of life. It's something that we can learn from and grow from. And rather they're seeing failure as something that it just makes it really hard to feel like they have a reason to continue on. And so we're seeing, you know, girls really being attacked from multiple facets right now. And really it is, I believe, a crisis level at this point. So we are seeing very similar things, but we know there is hope. And so that is the lovely part. And we're also getting to see some of that playing out across the country in our different troops, girls that are getting connected, that are seeing how important a Christ-centered life is and how that can bring the hope and the joy that we need, honestly, to battle in this culture. So we see the crisis, but we're also seeing the light, which is a beautiful thing.
Rachel, when we were at our World Conference a few weeks back, social media was a big topic of discussion. And you probably are familiar with that book, The Anxious Generation, written by Jonathan Haidt. And inside it, he talked a lot about kids moving from a play-based childhood to a phone-based childhood and what it's doing to them. I don't even think we know yet what the potential outcome is here. But he, in particular, identified girls who were getting decimated by social media, and he really was concerned about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, girls are wired to be in a group, in community, to feel like they belong. And so when we have this tool like social media that is trying to constantly divide, trying to constantly compare, it breaks down, you know, that thing that girls really need is to feel like they are belonging and that they are seen and known and loved. And we have this tool which is, it's meant to be a tool, right? And we're not using it as such, but that's a whole other discussion. That's really trying to break girls apart from that community. And they're constantly feeling like, well, I'm not as good as, or I'm not the same as. And that breaks down that, you know, I think innate need that God created girls to have, to be in a sense of community, to feel known, seen, belong. And so it really is just a battle that we are facing right now with social media.
And it's like everybody's caught up in this doom scrolling thing. Everybody's scrolling. We're just sitting. And people are laying in bed and just for hours doing this very thing. The results of it, UNICEF reported that 73% of teens have felt the need to ask for help concerning their physical and mental well-being. That's really sobering. I look at it from my perspective as an opportunity, meaning here's an opportunity to step into their world and add to it, Rachel, this spiritual surge that we're seeing among today's generations. I don't know if you're seeing that or not, but people are saying, Barner reports and others, that there's like a revival going on in our country, and it's the younger generations who are showing up at church.
Absolutely, and they're crying out for help, right? And so we need to be able to step up and say, hey, we've got the answer, we've got the hope, we've got the joy, but we have to be bold enough to step up and step out and offer them that help, because there's plenty of people in culture that are going to be willing to step in and offer alternatives to how to meet that need. So we as Christians need to be bold to step up and say, hey, we've got the answer over here, and it's Christ. And so I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I am very encouraged just at the level of hunger that girls have right now to know their Lord better. We see girls coming through our program. Part of our highest award, they have to write a spiritual walk essay where they really reflect on how they've seen God working in their lives. And I'll tell you what, if you ever need encouragement for this next generation, read some of these things that these girls are writing. I mean, they're profound and way beyond their years, but it's showing this hunger. And I have a lot of hope, actually, in the next generation, because I think this hunger is going to spur a revival that we haven't seen. And so I'm very excited amidst the battles that there is a lot of hope.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Our special guest today is Rachel Culpepper. Rachel is the new executive director of American Heritage Girls. And what a great transition, Rachel. Your mother, Patty, I interviewed her many, many times up on Family Talk and Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I want to talk to you about your new role. Congratulations again. And what it means. You grew up in the system. Rachel, you've been a part of that from the beginning. And you know all about what a difference it's making.
Absolutely. So not only have I had what I consider a privilege to see this ministry grow from something that honestly my mom thought was just for my little sister and do it for a couple years, that'd be it, we'd move on. And here 30 years later, just seeing what God has done has been so amazing. It makes me so grateful because I hear these stories from across the country. And then to add to that, I have my own daughter who is involved in our local HE troop. So I am seeing it firsthand, the impact that it can have on not only girls, but families and communities. So I feel very honored to be in this place where I have been able to see kind of the fullness of the story of what God has been doing here in HG, and really excited to see where he takes it next.
You know, it's interesting. You just had the 30th anniversary, 30-year anniversary, and it was a special time. I wasn't able to get there, but I was able to send a video in honor of your mom and everything that was going on. But Rachel, talk to us about American Heritage Girls, what it is for those who are listening right now. They're thinking, hey, this is like Girl Scouts. What is it? What happens?
Yeah, so it is really a Christ-centered character development program. Now, we utilize a lot of scouting methodology, for instance, badges, camping, leadership, those sorts of things. But the real difference is that everything points back to Christ. So we're really trying to give girls a framework from which they can start to see the world through a biblical worldview and understand that, you know, Christ is not just something that we pull out on Sunday and decide to use, but rather a Christ-centered life is what we're aiming for, and that really our faith is something that impacts every corner of our lives. And so HG does that in a really fun way. Our tagline is faith, service, and fun, and that really does encapsulate what we do. So we're teaching girls how to go out there and serve their community, how to fail well, because we think that's really important, how to connect with other girls, other people, And then they're learning all these sorts of life skills. You know, we've got geology badges, cake decorating badges, like the whole gamut. So whether you're a super girly girl or you're a girl that loves to climb trees and throw rocks or whatever it is, there is something in AHD for you. And all the while, we're really reinforcing girls' identities in Christ and that He has created them uniquely and specially, and just something that we really value is girlhood. So it's lots of fun. We organize as troops that are chartered through either churches, private schools, homeschool groups across the country. And girls ages 5 to 18 actually get to interact in one troop space, which means that there's this natural mentoring situations that arise. So you have younger girls able to look up to older girls who are living their faith out really well, and then older girls who are able to learn how to pour into youngers. So it's just a really beautiful thing that we're seeing pop up all across the country. And excited to see what the Lord's doing, because He's active and moving in AHG right now, which is really, really exciting to see.
Rachel, AHG, American Heritage Girls, has grown and is growing at a time when a lot of organizations are shrinking, youth ministries are shrinking. What is it you think that's connecting dots here that girls are finding it super helpful and valuable?
Absolutely. So there's so many extracurricular opportunities right now for kids, right? I mean, the number of things that I could sign my children up for right now is like mind-boggling, right? But the beautiful thing about AHG is it allows them to discover new things, to try new things, to learn service, all this, but with a faith component. Sports are great, but if you're not tying them back to the source, it's only for a finite time, right? But we're talking about eternal impact here and true transformation. So when you're talking about a girl and really learning how to change and grow without that faith component, it's just kind of empty, right? And so I think that's why parents are so drawn to AHG, is that you get the fun, you get the new, you get the camaraderie, but it's all anchored to Christ. So you're really having long-term impact and transformation. And so we're seeing, it's funny, we have a lot of moms that are like, well, I came to bring my daughter, but I've actually grown just as much as her because I'm learning alongside her. I'm connecting with other moms. I mean, we know parenting is really hard right now. And so AHG offers families a way to connect with other like-minded families and really provides support and encouragement along this parenting journey. And so, you know, it's just funny to hear about the parents, like, I thought she was going to like it, but I might actually like it even more than she does. So it's just been a wonderful family experience. So that's kind of the nutshell.
When I go back to social media, I think about identity, meaning that's where girls are getting killed. I mean, truth and identity is what this is all about. And I come back to an organization like yours, you build on that. It's where you form character and they find out who they are and whose they are. That's the beauty in all of this. Rachel, I think that's a connecting point. I've always loved outdoor activities. I'm a big believer in sports because it is a gift. But you have to, quote, anchor these kids, because most kids drop out of sports because no one really teaches them who they are and what talents or gifts that they do have, and they get lost in the system. This is a system where they're found, is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. And I love the idea that there are all these different badges for girls to explore and start to really define what are the ways that God has gifted me? What are the passions that He's laid in my heart? We hear over and over about girls that a little spark was started when they, you know, began an AHG badge. We have a girl that has studied volcanoes in Hawaii because she did the geology badge as an 8-year-old. And it just opened up her eyes to this wonderful thing that God had placed in her heart from the very beginning. Even just for the 30th anniversary, we went to a local bakery to get a special customized cake for my mom, right? And we walk in, and of course, the woman there was an AHG member as a girl, did the cake decorating badge, and that is what spurred her whole career. And so we're just seeing the way that God is using this idea of discovery within the AHG program to really help girls understand who they were created to be. And it's such a beautiful thing when you kind of see that like little spark in a girl, and you start to understand, wow, I was created for something pretty amazing. And so it's a lovely thing.
If people are wondering right now about American Heritage Girls and where I'll call them troops are, or where they could get plugged in, and how prevalent, how significant is it? Are you involved in local churches? Can you explain some of that to us?
Absolutely. So we currently have troops in all 50 states, and we actually also have a Trailblazer program that's specifically designed for military and missionary families that are stationed overseas. So we've also got members in a number of countries overseas as well. But as far as our troops go, they are always connected with a local faith-based entity. So sometimes that is a church. Sometimes it might be a homeschool group. We even have pregnancy care centers that will sometimes charter a troop. But really a faith-based organization that wants to utilize AHG as part of their ministry to girls in their community. So if your listeners are looking for a local troop, on our website, AmericanHeritageGirls.org, up in the right-hand corner, there's a little button that is a finder, a troop finder button. So it says find a troop. Click on there, put your zip code in, and it'll show you where your nearest troop is and actually give you a way to connect directly to that troop to try to get your daughter involved. We've also started a brand new Embracing Wisdom campaign where we are really encouraging women 55 and older to get connected with their local AHG troop. What we're finding is that there are like 24,000 girls on waiting lists for AHG troops across the country because we need new volunteers. We've got this culture that's trying to tell girls that older people are outdated or out of touch, and we know different, right? Like, this is a biblical model that older generations should be feeding into younger generations. So we're kind of trying to matchmake the two, right? Get these older women who have walked the walk, who can share the experiences, who can tell the stories of God's faithfulness to these local AHG troops. And we're hearing wonderful stories about women who maybe their grandkids live far away, but they want to be able to give back, coming into troops, you know, teaching things like knitting or crocheting, but really just loving on these girls and telling them like, hey, a life lived within God's will is a life worth living. And it's just been really encouraging. So that's another way, if you're a woman that is looking to give back, you can connect in the same way with that find a troop button to find a local troop to volunteer in. And then if you don't find a troop near you, because we are still growing, there is an opportunity to click on a button where it tells you all the ways that you can start a troop or bring it to your local church. We've got a whole dedicated staff that helps with that, workbook to work through. So it's really easy to get things started and something that you can really bring transformation to your community through the AHG ministry.
Wow. Rachel, I know that you also host a podcast called Raising Godly Girls. Tell us a little bit about that and what you've been experiencing.
Absolutely. So a handful of years ago, we just kept getting questions from both parents and honestly from some charter organizations saying, hey, our girls are really facing tough topics. Like, how do we help guide parents through these? And so as a result, we started the Raising Godly Girls kind of sub-brand, which are a bunch of parenting resources. So our podcast is a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday podcast, where basically a couple mamas, we unpack a topic, let's say loneliness or gender identity or how do we kind of deal with patriotism in our home, of a wide variety of articles and or of topics. And then on Saturday, Patty interviews a subject matter expert to kind of tie the week out. And so we're seeing great success with that podcast because, again, it's really hard parenting right now. And so to get these little tidbits to help understand how to talk to your kids about different topics. And then we have a series of ebooks as well that really help walk parents through, like, what is the topic right now, even as so far as defining some of the terms, because I'll be honest, there's a whole vocabulary that was not in my vocabulary as a young person, and just helping parents understand, like, this is what your kids are talking about. Here are some conversation starters, and here's the biblical worldview on that. We also have a one-minute radio feature that's on over 1,000 radio stations across the country that offer parents just that scripturally-based parenting advice, little bite-sized pieces, but really just trying to help come alongside parents and say, hey, this is really hard, but here's the biblical worldview, and here's the cultural topic, and here's how the two overlap. And we're just seeing a lot of great success with that because there's such a need. And honestly, parents that like that Raising Godly Girls, we always encourage them, if you like this, find your local HG troop, because then you're going to find a whole tribe of people to walk this path with you. So we're really excited about just the way that the Lord is using that and guiding it. And whew, there's some doozies of topics that we having to jump into.
I was going to ask you that very thing, Rachel. What about, and we talked about anxiety being a real big issue, and I know performance is a big issue. I hear my son Zach talk a lot about that as he's out there ministering to today's generations. But what has your attention? What's kind of like raised your eyebrows, if you will, that's like, this is serious stuff. Mom, Dad, we better get this figured out, or we're going to wind up losing our kids.
Yeah, a couple of the most recent topics that we've tackled, one is loneliness, because we are seeing that at epidemic levels with our girls. So
You think it's associated with screen time, that we've lost our FaceTime, for FaceTime, if you will? You get what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. I totally believe that. And I think we've also, you know, when we move to these screens, we've also sort of devalued community. And it's so important. I mean, we're wired for it. And so to try to pretend like a screen can replace that, we've done our kids such a disservice. And so I think really getting to back to that in real life community is so very important. If COVID brought us nothing else, it was the realization that, oh no, we actually need people. We need to be in like physical proximity with other humans. So I think that loneliness is a huge one. Another one we've been tackling recently is resilience. Because we feel like we have, I mean, I fall victim to it. I want my groceries delivered to my front porch. It's easier, right? But we're starting to take all of these hard things and remove them for our kids. And as a result, they're lacking the resilience that's really needed to be a successful adult and also to be able to stand boldly in your faith. I mean, that's a tough thing to do. So really trying to teach our girls how to become resilient, how to face obstacles, how to fail well, because we know, I mean, I know for my personal, I fail all the time. And so how do we do that well? And how do we learn from it? How do we do that with grace? So those are two topics that we've really been tackling recently because they seem very important to our girls.
We're fighting time here, Rachel. I want to dial this back. American Heritage Girls, I believe, is a gift to the church. This is a beautiful opportunity. Mom, Dad, hear us. You need to get your kids connected where they can find their true identity in Christ. And by the way, get engaged. Connectivity is what it's all about. And finding and seeing one another. Rachel, take us down that road again. Someone is hearing about this for the very first time. What should they and what can they do right now?
Absolutely. So if you go to AmericanHeritageGirls.org, first of all, you can learn all about the ministry there. But if in the top right-hand corner, there's a Find a Troop button that you can click, brings up a map, pop in your zip code, and you can see where your local troop, your closest troop is. You can also get more information on how to bring a new troop to your local community through your church. It's that information is all available on the website. We've got a dedicated team of staff that are ready to help you, always willing to you know, answer questions, that sort of thing. If you're looking for information on those Raising Godly Girls ebooks, raisinggodlygirls.com is where you can go to get connected with all of those.
Mention that again, because you guys do have a number of ebooks out there. You've written on topics like anxiety. Mom, Dad can go up there right now and access this content.
Yep. You can go to raisinggodlygirls.com, or actually our loneliness ebook is available right as a pop-up on our main website. So even if you just go to AmericanHeritageGirls.org, you will find a little pop-up in the bottom right-hand corner. You can click on that, pop your email address in, and we'll send you a free ebook on the topic of loneliness.
And they can also access, by the way, that Raising Godly Girls podcast that you're doing?
Yes, right there on RaisingGodlyGirls.com. We're also on all of your typical podcast platforms, you know, Apple, Spotify, fill in the blank with your favorite, and we're available there as well.
Wonderful. My wife, Julie, and daughter, Megan, host what's called the Extraordinary Women Conferences. Rachel, we would love to get you there. You imagine thousands of women packed into an arena, worshiping the Lord, concerned about culture and more, and raising godly families, especially influencing their sons and their daughters.
Yes.
I can see there's a lot of energy around all this. And hey, who knows what God's going to do as we look to the future? We tip the hat to you and the great work you're all doing there. We'd love to invite you, by the way, to join us at one of those. But
yes.
Hey, would you say hey to your mom? And we applaud her and the great work, the foundation she's laid. And certainly we'll pray for you as we look to the future, Rachel.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
Hey, on behalf of my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we tip the hat. And as I said, we'll pray that God would continue to strengthen your voice and influence for such a time as this. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. If your attention span feels shot, don't worry. You're not broken. You're just outnumbered. The average person picks up their phone 96 times a day and is bombarded with over 6,000 thoughts daily. No wonder we feel distracted. But God hasn't called you to be scattered. He's called you to be rooted. 1 Corinthians 7:35 talks about living in undivided devotion to the Lord. Attention is a limited resource. Where you spend it reveals what you value. Clinically, the constant dopamine spikes from distraction are reshaping our brains. But the good news? You can retrain your focus through intentional pauses and practices. Tomorrow morning, don't touch your phone for the first 15 minutes. Instead, sit in stillness or read one chapter of Scripture. Start your day centered, not scattered. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net.